This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
River Island's guest line, because here comes part two of our late show soiree. We got the Giants in there. Let's get to the Niners, because there's plenty of questions there too. And David Lombardi, SF Standard, kind enough to jump on with us here and talk things out as another Niner week is starting to come together. Injuries are out there as well. David, thanks so much for coming on, man. How are you?
Good. Yeah, I'm ready to get out into Vegas. It's going to be a little bit hot, but I think practice is early there, so we'll be fine. And only one of the practices on Thursday. They don't do back-to-backs anymore because I guess there's too many fights on the second day, according to Kyle Shanahan. So you practice once with another team, and then you find another team to do another practice with.
Love it. Yeah, Vegas is where the next joint practices are coming as the Niners get ready for the Raiders. We've got a lot of questions about their plan for this week, but I want to start with where we sit right now. David, what is your read on the Juwan Jennings situation in total? What's going on here?
I think two things are true at once. I think that he wants a new contract. We've known that for a few weeks now, and I think that his calf is also bothering him. That's something that has popped up multiple times for Juwan, going actually back to last training camp where he missed a lot of camp and then came in at the end and then obviously delivered his career best season with those 975 receiving yards. So the NFL is complicated, especially since there are so many injuries across the league, and it just so happens that you've got a contract standoff and an injury that's pushing a player out of practice happening at the same time. Now, it's worth noting that early in camp, when Juwan felt good enough, he was out in practice. So it's not like he's been out of practice the whole time, even when the injury wasn't an issue, right? And I think, you know, just in the bigger picture, the 49ers spent all this money on Deebo Samuel and then on Brandon Ayuk, and Ayuk obviously is the most recent investment for them. That came after a long standoff last offseason. Then you had Jennings essentially outperform Ayuk after that contract was signed, and it just puts everybody in a really difficult position. I can totally understand Jennings' point of view. He had about 1,000 receiving yards, and he's only scheduled to make $7.5 million. And beyond that, he's been just the ultimate soldier for the 49ers as far as blocking goes, just setting an example physically. He's been great. He's epitomized what they want at the receiver position. So you have his case on one side, but then you have the Niners, who have been now squeezed financially by all the big contracts they've had to give out. They're number three in cash spending this year, even despite the fact that this was the belt tightening year. So they cut a bunch of guys, but they also doubled down on their A-list players, and their philosophy is to pay the A-list players but to be cost efficient at other positions. And Juwan Jennings is in this really weird rock and a hard place, because he is not an A-list player, but he's a very important one. And what do the 49ers do with a player like that financially? And I think that's what the question is right now. And maybe deadline pressure will push them closer to a resolution.
Your colleague Tim Kawakami was intimating in his article that the Niners just don't have the money and the two sides are fairly far apart. How much does the injury factor elsewhere in that room allow Juwan Jennings to have a little bit more leverage as this gets closer to the start of the year?
Yeah, so I think that this is probably the most leverage that Juwan will ever have. He's looking at the situation right now, and there are a lot of guys hurt. Ricky Pearsall's the only starting receiver who's available. As this does get closer to the season, if the problems still look like they're going to persist into week one and beyond, there's a lot in question right now, especially with somebody like Jordan Watkins. He's going to be out for about a month, and the season opener is about a month away. But if it's really starting to look like this is bad with week one approaching, then the 49ers will probably start sweating even a little bit more. But there's two sides to this too, right? Juwan, he's scheduled for free agency after this season. Free agency is the big cash cow here, right? That's what you want to get to. And he's got to play this year ahead of that free agency year to make sure that he maintains his option of cashing out. And it's like this game of chicken, right? Who's gonna pull over to the side of the road first? And generally, both sides take evasive action at some point close to the collision. So the two cars are heading toward each other. And the roster cut down might be one of those inflection points on August 26th.
David Lombardi, SF Standard, with us. David, let's talk to Marcus Robinson. I know Kyle Shanahan let everybody know yesterday that they're going through the appeals process on a forthcoming potential suspension. Do you expect that appeals process to be done before the year starts? How do you think that ball plays out?
I would think so. If they're already in the appeals process right now, Jordan Addison pled no contest to DUI charge. I don't know if there was an appeals process with the NFL suspension for him, but the suspension did come down about a week ago. It was three games to start 2025. I think that we can expect something similar for DeMarcus Robinson. I don't know what would take the league so long that the 49ers couldn't find out before the roster cut down. I mean, at that point, it would be ridiculous. If everything's already been filed and Kyle Shanahan made it sound like the appeals process is ongoing, then you'd think that the league here could adjudicate things in a timely fashion so that the 49ers can get on with things. But they expect there to be a suspension. I would expect it to be three games, maybe two games if somehow this appeal comes through and lessens it. But I think the standard punishment under the substance abuse policy for this no contest plea to a DUI is three games. So I would expect it to be about that long at the start of the season.
David, a lot of fans are concerned about the running back depth, and you know, you all hope that Christian McCaffrey stays healthy, but if he happens to miss some time, right now looking at the running back room, who do they have who can really step up and maybe take on a share of the load?
Isaac Garendo is currently not available, but he should be in a couple weeks. He has a shoulder issue, but he's running full speed off on the side, and he's doing cuts. He just can't take on contact with the shoulder. So he's the number two. They're hoping that he can also recreate some of what Christian could do in the pass game. Christian today scored a touchdown with George Kittle blocking, and then he gave George the ball, and George threw it up in the air in his kind of signature celebration. Good. Christian looked really good at practice today. I just thought of that one play out of the backfield because I realized that Isaac Garendo is the 49ers' plan for another running back who can catch the ball, who can pressure defenses in that way. And then Patrick Taylor Jr. has shown that he's got a higher floor in years past. I think that he put in a lot of good work over the course of this offseason. There were some real issues, I thought, with him in the games where he started down the stretch last year in the receiving game. There was the time when he ran the wrong route against Miami, and it all almost turned into an interception. And as a check down, you just got to be reliable. And I think that he's been much more reliable over the course of this camp. The touchdown run the other day was nice. Pono Hufanga, now Denver, plugged up the hole where that run was supposed to go. And Patrick Taylor showed some nice vision and bounced out and scored to the outside. So I think that's kind of your safe backup if, a lot of stuff goes wrong for the 49ers. But you might have more of a ceiling with Garendo and then these two rookies, right? That they brought in Jordan James, who's he actually went to my wife's high school. That's kind of cool, out in the Nashville area for 2 years. But he's a really, really compact runner, and he's built a lot like Corey Kiner, who is the other rookie they brought in. They're both like my comp for both of them is Devontae Freeman physically. They didn't blow anybody away with their physical measurements, but they run really hard, and they've got more burst when you watch them in person than their 40 time might suggest. That's exactly who Devontae Freeman was, and he was a great all-around back, and I think that the 49ers think they may have some real ceiling with Jordan James and Corey Kiner.
David, can we go back to receiver for a second? Because I think this is one thing fans are thinking right now. Like, long run, is this all going to work out? Yeah, probably. But let's go to week one. And so Robinson, for sure, no. Watkins is now out with the high ankle, and he was a rookie anyway. Yeah, fingers crossed that Pearsall stays healthy. If Juwan Jennings' situation and or health is not set by week one, who is playing wide receiver in Seattle?
Yeah, so Ricky Pearsall is obviously the center of attention, and you've got to hope that he stays healthy in case that's the code red scenario, right? That would be tough for the 49ers. But Pearsall has been practicing very well, and he would be the centerpiece in the code red situation. Then Jacob Cowing was back today. I think the 49ers' hope for Cowing was that he would be competing with Jordan Watkins for a number three or number four role this year, kind of the burner role on the offense. Well, Cowing would be fully thrust into that, assuming that Watkins wouldn't be available. And Jake had a really good offseason. They were happy with the strides he made. He unfortunately strained his hamstring in warm-ups of practice number one, so we didn't get to see him in team drills until today, and they're still easing him in. So it'd be Pearsall, Cowing, and Russell Gage would be the number three, with Robbie Chosen probably having the inside track to be number four if the 49ers didn't sign anyone else. And they worked out a couple guys today. But Russell Gage, this is somebody that people should pay attention to, because he was a good number three in Atlanta for a couple of years. He had 750-plus yards in two straight seasons, and then he tore his patellar tendon, and that almost caused him to retire. He's been out of game action for 2 years. The 49ers were lucky enough to get him onto their practice squad last year because he said, I'm going to give it one more shot, and he spent that end of the 2024 season getting back in shape, learning the 49ers playbook, and for about a week or 10 days to start this training camp, Russell Gage was leading the 49ers in receptions at camp. And Kyle said that it looks like he is back to being a good NFL player again. Like, he's got some of that speed back. And, you know, one of the things is we saw a guy like Isaiah Nair. They cut him. He's with the Packers now, who can run like the wind, 4.4, 6.4, 220. And everybody thought, okay, this is going to be the next receiver for the 49ers. I think that whole experiment really underscored the fact that it's not about your athleticism if you can't run routes, if you don't know the nuances of the game. And somebody like Russell Gage, even though he might be 29 years old now, coming off that knee injury 2 years ago, he has shown that he can succeed at this level, at that number three receiver spot, with the craftiness that he has, and he knows the inside and outs of the position. I think that he really might be somebody who elevates the floor of the receiver room to help the 49ers through this real rough patch with all these injuries. So I definitely would look to him if they do hit that code red situation week one in Seattle.
David, who'd they work out today? Anyone we've heard of?
One of the guys they worked out was Malik Turner, who's been with the team. Frank Darby has also been with the 49ers before. Then two guys who haven't been with them, Kwame Lassiter and Jalen Camp. And Spencer Petras, who went to Marin Catholic, the alma mater of Jared Goff. He's from San Rafael. That's the quarterback they brought in to throw to them. And Spencer, he played QB for Iowa, but he's a Marin kid, and he's now been to the facility twice in the last month to throw to different receivers that they're working out. They've got so many injury troubles at receivers, they keep on calling up the same local quarterback. Hey, we got to work out some more receivers. Come on down. And so Spencer's gotten a couple looks now thrown to these guys.
And it's not bad, and at some point maybe he could be a practice squad guy, and it kind of leads me to my question, David, which is, who do they go with on Saturday? What's the plan for facing the Raiders in preseason game number two?
Well, you know, now that I think of it, because you mentioned it, they did not get good QB 3 and 4 play, to say the least,
yeah,
in the preseason opener.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
And my perspective is that, let me start with this. The quarterback situation for the 49ers is much better than it was last year, because they're better at one. Purdy is just lighting it up. Purdy was awesome again today. He was 14 of 17 at practice. He couldn't have run up to George Kittle and handed him the ball in a better spot than he did on this streak pattern. I mean, it was a beautiful pass. But Purdy is playing great, and Mac Jones is an upgrade over Josh Dobbs and Brandon Allen, who were battling for number two last year. Number three and number four, those have obviously been problems. Mordecai has since been cut, and Carter Bradley is the number three now. But my opinion is that if you get to quarterback number three and number three has to play for an extended period of time, unless that quarterback three is a rookie Brock Purdy, your season is going down the toilet. It's just that the 49ers saw the exception to the rule in 2022 when they had Purdy as their number three. But generally, there's not going to be good quarterback play at that spot. And do you have to have one on your roster? Of course, but you can't expect great things from that QB3. Now, the play was so rough the other day that I wouldn't be shocked that if it is rough again this week against the Raiders, if maybe the 49ers do bring in Spencer Petras. Maybe they have seen him throw enough to where they're impressed enough at these workouts, and it's like, hey, why don't we give it a shot? But bottom line is that they're happy that they've got Purdy and Jones at the top of the room, and then in this league, anything beyond that is gravy.
David Lombardi, SF Standard. David, when we talk about injuries, and this has been a touchy thing with Kyle through the years, but outside of the Super Bowl season from 2 years ago, somehow, some way, every year he's been here, they're in the top 10 in terms of injuries in the NFL. What's your take on that? How do you explain it?
Yeah, that Super Bowl season, they were almost pristinely healthy. It was crazy. I still remember doing a video update the night before the Super Bowl, and the update was there is no injury list for the 49ers. It was wild. They had nobody on the injury report, and then they lost the Super Bowl the next day, and in large part because Dre Greenlaw tore his Achilles walking out onto the field. So even in the season where it seemed that they were free of the injury hex, it came back and it bit them, right, in that Super Bowl. And it bit them in the most unfathomably painful way possible with the heart and soul of their defense, the guy who was playing this insanely good game to start, getting hurt, tearing his Achilles, literally walking out onto the field, not even performing a true football move. So, you know, I at certain positions, I can explain it, I think. Like running back, for example, the reason the 49ers go through so many running backs is because they demand a really unsustainable combination from their running backs, in that they want guys who are fast and they want guys who are physical. You know, they want both of those in the same player. So they want somebody running the 4-3-40, but he's also barreling over defenders, and that, I think, makes their running game as lethal as it has been over the years, that and the blocking, obviously, but I think that's a key component of it. But the problem is the running backs do drop relatively quickly when that's the case. Now, if that's their mentality running the ball, perhaps they've got a similar kind of vibe around the whole team where they have guys who are playing very fast, very physically, and that's conducive to injuries. The bottom line, though, is that it is happening around the whole league. The 49ers may be a little bit higher than average in some of these seasons, but the only two seasons where it's been appallingly bad, like worse in the league, is 2020 and 2024. And both of those seasons were coming off of Super Bowl runs. Hmm. I think it's too early right now to say how healthy or not healthy they're going to be in 2025, because right now they're going to the camp dog days. Let's sit back and reevaluate this in September and October, when they're actually in the season, because whatever you're doing right now as far as resting guys and guys deciding to pull themselves out, it's so you're as healthy as possible for the season, right? And there's going to be a lot of overreacting to what's happening in camp, but I'm looking forward to seeing exactly where they are in when it actually counts in the regular season.
David, great stuff. We appreciate you, and viva Las Vegas.
Yep, thank you. Have a good one.
All right.
Yep.
David Lombardi,
only,
SF Standard.
110 degrees today. Drops to 109 tomorrow, so it's cool enough.
They will be indoors, though, right?
I think they practice outside tomorrow.
Did they
he
practice
was saying
outside.
Yeah, they practice outside.
Oh, good.
But like 8 o'clock, I think they're practicing. So it's only going to be probably 90. 90's not 110 now.
No,
it's not. It is a dry heat. When Granny and I were there the first day for Summer League, 117.